And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Wesley and Willie.
Welcome, everybody.
Third episode of the second season. It is Sunday, December 27th, 2020. It's the last Sunday of the year 2020. And today we're planning to do reflections on the year of 2020. I think we're having Facebook is having issues, but anyway, we're live on YouTube. Yeah, we are live on YouTube. Let me see if we are actually live on Facebook. How are you, Willie?
Good, good. How are you?
Great. Yeah, it's not broadcasting on Facebook.
Not anyway. Broadcasting?
On Facebook, it seems that Facebook has a has an issue with the connection, but we are live on YouTube anyway. Okay. So how are you, Willie?
Good, good. How are you? Are you happy the year is over?
A happy year. It's just time that passes by. I don't feel that. These arbitrary points that we've created as social constructs, they are good points of reflection, but they really are meaningless in reality, right?
Yeah. However, this year will stand out always as a very different year throughout the foreseen history, I think. Many, many things happen, especially the COVID-19. And I'm happy it's over. Even though I think 2020 got all the hits and the COVID started on 2019, not in 2020. So... Right. Yeah, so didn't 2020 didn't initiate the COVID, 2019 did. But other things happened. We can reflect on some of them, if you wish.
Sure. For the world to experience such a collective issue is very special and gives a feeling of unity and a feeling of wahdat al-masir, yani the unity of destination. So this is something that doesn't happen often. So it's probably the only one in our lifetime, and usually it's one time in generations that the world experiences such a pandemic. Now they say that we might experience them more often, more frequently. I hope not. And if so, I think we are also getting so much advanced in creating vaccinations and treatments.
But the virus is also on the battleground with us. I mean, it already it evolved to a third variant. It mutated two times already. So it seems like it's going to be a long battle that's not going to be resolved in the near future, I think. I mean, the German tested the new variant, and the vaccine could be the second one. It was okay with the second one, but we don't know about the third one, which is started in South Africa. So hopefully the vaccine will work. However, if I can look back at the year, like at the beginning of the year, if you remember, like there was huge fires in Australia that were spread like over thousands of acres of forest, and they killed or put in danger 3 billion different animals. So this is how the year started, and we had another like big huge blazes of fire in California also. In the middle of the year. But despite all of that, and despite the COVID-19 spread and the lockdown in many countries. Yet, amazingly, the stock market hit all times high twice, once in February and one in February, one in November. And I read an article that said that the rich got richer, like Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg of Amazon and Facebook, and they accumulated more wealth, and it was estimated to be, listen to this, $10.2 trillion of new wealth during this year. So I think this favors the conspiracy theory that people claim that this COVID-19 was made up by some people to benefit from. What's your input about this?
Yeah, so I disagree with the conspiracy theory, definitely. And I even disagree with the feelings of resentment when corporations become more profitable, as if we are in the 60s or 70s, and these are coal mining factories, in which coal miners they die in dozens every week. I mean,
but let me interrupt you for 1 second here. An average worker in Amazon still makes $8 an hour.
The minimum wage is not $8 in America.
Okay, 10.
Yes. But no, that's not the average. Actually, Amazon is starting workers with $15 an hour. But even
not in London. I know in London they don't give this
money. Oh, really? Yeah. In America, they don't have McDonald's salaries. That's what I want to tell you. They have good, decent, average salaries with good benefits. But definitely, I mean, there's a lot of more work to be done. But we don't want to also end up with Ford and what happened to Ford, GM, and Chrysler to the point, you know, these increases continued until, you know, the line worker, the assembly line worker, was making $36, $37 and costing the company over $100 because of all the benefits and the union fees and everything. That it was much favorable for these companies to move their facilities to elsewhere, and they moved to Mexico and other countries, and resulted in a direct hit to Detroit, that which is behind me on the scene. This actually behind me is the Renaissance Building, which is the GM headquarters of the world, and this is in Detroit. You know, in Detroit, the three big car makers in America they come from, and they're headquartered at, but it has lost a lot of the industry because of moving factories to other countries, which made the city into an apocalyptic deserted city that had a new renaissance in the last 10 years due to the contributions of Dan Gilbert and his conglomeration of companies, on the head of which is Quicken Loans. So, Willie, if Amazon is making, I don't know how much they're making, to increase it by another few billions, you know, I don't think that's a big incentive, especially it's publicly owned, so it's run by a directorship. Jeff Bezos being the first person in history to have assets of over $100 billion, to have 120, I don't think there's a big incentive to go from 100 to 120. I don't think you have a lot of incentive when you're number one and you are like 30 billion away from the number two. You know, so I don't feel that this is something that, you know, makes us question causation. Actually, it is natural that these businesses that have been positioned themselves to be online, to use the e-commerce revolution, that a pandemic such as that will push it further. All the companies, all the tech companies went up in this recently. All the users of technology has went up too.
Tesla owner became the second billionaire, I think, in the world.
Yeah, Tesla did amazing. It's almost tripled the value of its stock. I mean, I invested in Tesla out of morality. like before even there was signs of an increase. Actually, he has few dips, especially when he comes out to speak. He speaks in a very uncorporate way that sometimes the stock dips after he speaks. So it was very unstable, but I invested in it because I felt he's the new Steve Jobs. He's the person who is dreaming and he has the money to make his dreams come true. And I felt like we need people like this today to you know, like imagine what the future is and push forward with it. And actually it's working. It's what he's doing.
Yes.
And what he's doing is amazing. I mean, if everyone... I mean, once that he creates, because he reinvented the battery. This year is one of his accomplishments. It is under-celebrated. He should get a Nobel Prize for that. In a few years, he says 2023, but there is something in Silicon Valley called Elon's time. He's usually very ambitious in his timing. So you add a couple of years over his timeline. So probably by 2025, he'll have the $25,000 cars. Self-driving, totally green cars, and he's pushing for the home batteries. He did, you know, like shingles, and he did solar panels that make sense for every person should have them. Really, if you're building a new house, you should have Elon Musk's. You should have Tesla's battery in it. Not only does it rely on itself, it even supplies the grid. Yani, he created the solution for global warming single-handedly. But, you know, people are resistant. And this is only two of his companies. He has 10 companies, every one of which is revolutionary. The Boring Company, Boring with B-O-A, it's creating tunnels with this vacuum tubes. He's already doing one in Las Vegas. He has the rocket company, the rocket. He invented a way for the rocket to re-land because that's 80% of the cost is the rocket being thrown away. So he invented a rocket that re-lands on Earth after it takes the head to the space, etc. You can check his. I'm a big fan, so I'm not going to talk a lot about him. But I feel that there is a resentment that, oh, these people became richer. Well, these people, first of all, don't have like cash in the bank. You know, that's not how their assets work. It's, you know, stock market, and companies are owned by the public anyway. And yes, they get richer, but they also have a lot of, you know, philanthropy. And I mean, this is how America works. This is how capitalism works.
And many companies also, not everybody got richer. Many companies went downward, like for instance Hertz, JCPenney filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, so it wasn't good for everybody, of course. Should we move to another topic?
Yeah, actually I have an idea. I have the New York Times 2020 in photos. What do you think of going through them and commenting, Willie?
How many photos?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I mean, you can interject with the topics you want to speak. I'm sure these.
I may be ignorant about some of them because, you know, today I was, let me give you an example. Today I was checking the most viewed, listen to this, the most viewed YouTube videos. And the top two I was ignorant of. And each of them got 7-point-something billion views.
Wow.
And it was the first time me seeing them today. So I may be ignorant.
I think I'll experience the same thing like you if I watch the top. It's a different world that we don't even exist in.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's just check it out, okay? Maybe it will work with us. Can you see the screen, Willie?
Yeah, yeah.
You can make it large if you want. You can make it.
It's okay. Maximum. I can see it. Yeah.
Okay. This was in January in New York. Have you ever experienced New Year's in New York?
Yeah, once. But I stayed home. I didn't go to see the ball downtown. I didn't do that. It was too hectic, too crowded.
Mm-hmm. Hong Kong, January 1, after weeks of relative calm, pro-democracy protesters took to the streets, resuming mass demonstrations that had begun the previous year. This is January 6, Saudi Arabia, Dakar rally. Venezuela. Fida Zaidan performing in Grey Rock, a play about a Palestinian man who decides to build a rocket to the moon. Okay, this is what you talked about, Australia's wildfires.
Right.
And this guy, Keep America Great, he was trials for charges of obstruction of Congress and abuse of power, and he was acquitted.
And the impeachment. The third ever president to be impeached.
Yep. Super Bowl nobody cares about in this room. Benghazi, Libya, look at Libya, man. It's looking a lot like
the forgotten war,
like Halab. Putin, new citizens sworn in LA. I think this is just interesting photos. Venezuela. Yeah, this is when the Chinese started constructing hospitals for the outbreak. On spot, very fast.
They built a hospital, a makeshift hospital, in 10 days.
Yeah, amazing, amazing country. I heard once that they produce cement in a week or something that America produces in a year or something like that. Something, some ridiculous statistics.
About, you know, they're going to become the greatest economy in the world in 2028. They will precede America.
Yeah. Coronavirus outbreak, January 30. This picture from January 30, can you believe that? We were completely oblivious about it in January 30.
You know why? Because the WHO didn't acknowledge the virus as a pandemic till March. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I think they did an awful job.
Yeah, I mean, something has to change in that organization for sure.
To have somebody on the head who speaks fluent English, at least.
Biggest wave ever ridden by a woman. Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, died in a helicopter crash.
Died in a helicopter crash.
Along with six other people, yeah. It was tragic.
Do you watch basketball, Willie?
I used to. I used to be a Laker fan when I lived in California.
I think I watched basketball once, and it was with you.
Okay.
In your house, and it was like the NBA's final or something. You got me to watch a lot of things in life.
Don't mention all of them.
I think we were talking, me and a friend, the other day, like, was there any influential people in your life, like the top influential people in your life? And who had the most influence on your life last year? And I told him, I don't think in the last 10 years there is very influential people, unfortunately. But historically speaking, I think the most influential people in my life were Sheikh Talib Sanjari.
MashaAllah.
And you.
Oh, no. Don't give me that, Willie.
No, definitely. Definitely. Doesn't mean to the better, but just kidding.
And I can say it's vice versa, by the way.
Oh, really? Because you're older than me, so to know someone who has, you know, 10 years more than you and life experience, especially you, yani Mukhadram, you're a Renaissance man. You've been. I learned a lot from you. I actually, yeah, a lot. Like
in the, you influenced in the old good days. Huh?
Yeah, I think you made me who I am today. Like it's a big part of it is made by you, and the exposure to you, the music. I was completely oblivious to music before you, and living in Emirat and being religious did not help.
But I met you in the music department.
Yeah.
So what did you do there?
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Why were you there? So you were not very anti-music. That was not true. You were pro music as well.
So when I met you in the music room, in the right. piano room, I was actually taking piano one.
Uh huh. See.
And so the reason I took piano one is because I needed 3 credits okay. for my scholarship for my full time status, and I didn't want to take like appreciation of music. I felt like it's, you know, if I want to take music, let me take actually piano. So I took this piano class, which, you know, Dr. Martinez, he ended up really creating passion for me for piano. And I met you at that time. So it was, yeah, it was a rebirth in music. And I met a guy who was bald and a long beard playing Feyruz on the piano.
On the grand piano.
I need to know this guy. And then, yeah, and then I met you and I talked to you. And the same night, I went to Hafez to drink coffee, and I saw you there. You also made friends with Hafez. So it was a coincidence that, you know.
In another class, yes, in history. Yeah.
And it was an amazing few years after that.
But I remember you told me a lot about your piano teacher. He did leave an impact on you as well, didn't he?
That yeah, I mean, teacher. He was totally different from anything I took before. He was so passionate. He was, yeah. And he actually saw something in me. He believed in me. He saw something. I was playing Jingle Bells. I mean, it's piano one. And he would look at me like this while I'm playing Jingle Bells, you know? And he says, you have the touch.
And he's a concert virtuoso player.
Yeah, and a big jazz player. And he would go beyond, like he would see my fingers and like wow. my heart behind it. And
yeah, I like people like that who appreciate everything, appreciate little things.
Yeah, he made me believe in it. And he pushed me and he said, take piano two. And then when the piano two wasn't offered, he gave me a few pieces to practice. And he told me, I'll make you skip piano two if you play them and go piano three. And that's what happened. And then he was fired. Because he used, I don't know, I heard rumors that he used to do drugs. And I mean, smoke marijuana, you know, but it was the 90s.
Okay. It was a taboo back then.
Yeah. And the pandemic hit.
Mass graves.
This is in China. And Bernie was on the rise. Bernie was a big hope for us, but he's gone. And I say from a foreign policy perspective more than from an economic perspective. Kenya battled its worst desert locust outbreak in 70 years. The French writer Gabriel Matzneff died. And China is under lockdown. We're in February now.
Not all of China, like Wuhan area.
Wuhan, yeah, Wuhan region. Yeah. China is too big to be on lockdown. This is in Italy, right? Yep. March 15 in Italy. It's the second place the pandemic hit. Taliban borders.
They signed a peace accord with America.
They signed after, a peace accord, yep.
Yeah, after decades of war.
Um, Yeah, I remember this picture.
Yeah, me too.
Amazing, amazing. This was in Brazil, São Paulo. Amazing life. Look at this, London. Munich, New York, Marsh Theory, New Jersey, Scarsdale, New York, Containment Area, the shopping frenzy, Willie. They ran out of
yes, people were hoarding on everything, especially toilet paper. For a reason, I still don't know why.
Place de la Concorde in France. This is where they cut off the head of Marie Antoinette. New York. Okay, I think this will get boring if I keep doing that, right?
And there was something that was skipped anyway. In January, Qasem Soleimani was hit along with Al Mohandes by a drone.
In January? Wow, that's.
Yeah. Yeah, almost a year now. And I remember when Trump said right afterward that we terminated him on the act. What act? He was flying on a public airplane from Beirut to Iraq, right? And he said, we terminated him as you terminate like insects. So yeah. That was really provocative for the Iranian people. And we remember that Iran hit back the base of Ayn al-Assad, living 50.
Which was a play?
It wasn't, no. I don't think it was, but they had told the Iraqi president before the hit, and he eventually told the Americans this is what happened.
Mm-hmm. I just remembered that this is a podcast, and people who hear it in the car can't see the pictures, so we need to. So it's probably a bad idea to have pictures. Yeah, so let's just talk about it then. Another thing is that Black Lives Matter. Things happened.
Right, George Floyd, yes, when he was killed. That sparked protest all nationwide.
Yeah, and a kind of like a revision of history internationally, which was interesting. Slave right. owners' sculptures just thrown into the river in London.
So did COVID kill that movement? Has it died?
I don't think Black Lives Matter.
We don't hear of it.
Actually, COVID was forgotten when the BLM was on the rise. But I think it's done its job. It's run its course, and it took us to a new level of intolerance of any really racism or and also internationalized the issue. That, you know, the world is no longer tolerant of any such racism or white supremacy being displayed, such as the one that was displayed. Although, you know, it's questionable whether it was, I think it was like more symbolic than real. We cannot really 100% know the motive of the police officer, and we cannot say it's an act of white supremacy, but I'm saying it's just symbolic to that. And it was a point of time where the world said we're not going to tolerate anymore this type of racism that America has been rampant with.
Yeah, but at least from the video that we saw of the police officer having his knee on George Floyd's neck, you can tell at least from the video that he was totally inconsiderate and irrespondent to his cries. When he said so many times, I can't breathe. So yes, he wasn't considered, he was so cold in responding. Right. Yeah. So that's at least.
And by the way, he acted based on procedure. And if a person is saying, I can't breathe, the police, usually thinks that, okay, he's breathing. If he can say that, he's breathing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the procedure itself, the police procedures were very cold. And there was a time to, and it's a police state. And you remember me and you, we talked a long time ago about the prison state in America. It's just a horrible situation. You have a medieval prison situation in a first world country that's completely ignored. And you know, the rate of incarceration in the United States is ridiculous.
The highest all over the world.
And it's people are silent about. And to tell you the truth, you know, there is so much things to fight. You know, we have to prioritize. Like, I feel like I'll never have a chance to fight this in my life because I'm busy with other things, other fights that I have to take on. But I wonder, like, organizations, I feel I have a lot of resentment for organizations like ACLU and organizations that have a very large budget, but then they do, like, you know, like 25 or 100 lawsuits at the end of the year. You know, I feel like organizations like this should have like 100 lawsuits every day. And, you know, I just feel that there are a lot more work to be done.
But you know, lawsuits in America are very costly. And why do you think they have a big budget?
Because they raised $24 million in the first week of... in the first week or a first month of the BLM situation, for example.
Mm.
You know, so they raise a lot of money. But
all of it through donations, right?
Donations, yeah. I mean, if it comes to me, I want to have like a millage that goes to organizations such as ACLU.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the departments in the governments, they do have like a civil rights department. But it's internal at the end of the day, you know? They're hired and fired by the same boss. So you have to have like an independent organization, and it should be supplied by the government. Human rights organizations should be funded by governments to be sued by them. That's the right thing to be done. It's like how having a personal life coach. It's like having an accountability buddy. Governments needs to do that. ACLU should not have a problem with budget. It should be part of the taxes.
Funded by the government, you mean?
Yes. But I mean, you know, we talk, نغني خارج السربية. We are talking in a different country. So we live
in... even though like the ACLU takes many, many cases that affect Arabs, I don't think Arabs are the like big contributors to it, right?
No, but I've seen a lot of Arab members of it. We are kind of active. Arab Americans are kind of active in ACLU. I mean, they're...
But what matters is money, you know that, Muslim. Contributions, this is what matters. You know what, Trump was able to get 200 million only after he lost the election, 200 millions towards his lawsuits against Biden. 200 millions in contributions, in private donations.
Yeah. It seems hatred is a bigger motive than love in some cases.
We cannot talk about this year without talking about Lebanon, what happened in Lebanon.
Oh my God. It seems that my memory blocked it. Incredible. Yeah. It can only happen to the Lebanese people.
Yes.
No people can take this.
Yes. Especially that now, after like some of the investigations surfaced, now they're saying that many, many politicians knew about this ticking time bomb in the port. The ammonium nitrate. They knew about it, yet they didn't do nothing about it. And of course, that's due to negligence and corruption. And if they hadn't known anything about it, it would have been easier. But knowing about it and not reacting makes it very, very bad. makes it worse. And that, along with COVID, along with the protest that started in October, left the country on a brink of collapse, I would say.
Yeah.
Some people say we are on a free fall. And the loss of the the currency, about 80% of the currency lost its value toward the dollars. And that really affected the middle class. I don't think we have a middle class now anymore. The social fabric, I think, is collapsing. And I anticipate, if there is no immediate cure, I anticipate very, very bad consequences to take care also to take place. And I think, at the beginning of the protest, we all were with it. And then when, I think from my personal view, when the protests were used by different agendas for different causes, I think this is when they lost the support from everybody in Lebanon. And but basically, at the beginning of the protest, everybody was talking about getting rid of the political class, which was the reason for everything. Because the political class, which ruled the country for the last 30 or 40 years, everybody knows they're corrupted and they favor nepotism. They plunder the resources of the country, and yet, because of the secular construct in Lebanon, you cannot touch anybody. You cannot even bring anybody to court. So the Thawra was probably the thing that everybody waited for. But unfortunately, it seems like no revolution in the third world will ever succeed, except for the one-time 1979 Islamic revolution. Except for that, I cannot even think of any success.
Well, Tunis is success.
You think so?
And I have to keep reminding every time it's mentioned.
Is
I
it?
Have to keep reminding that the Arabs.
But they're still struggling.
Successful in Tunis.
It's not done yet.
Well, they had. Okay, they installed democracy, and they kind of struggled with it a little bit because the Muslim Brotherhood. They won a big number of seats. They struggled with it for 10 years, but now it's self-adjusted. And the Muslim Brotherhood, they have good amount of seats, and the president is beloved by the people, and there's democracy, and they're fighting corruption, and things seem to be. I can't see it more ideal than this as far as democracy is going. Tunis is a good example. Tunis should be the capital of Arab revolutionary thought right now. And Tunis should be, opening the doors in front of Arab immigration of, thinkers, and because it's a freed state. It's a freed state from the post-colonial era. It's struggling economically. It's still under a big French influence, but there is other factions in the Arab world that try to influence it. But it is actually doing well. I can't say anything other than that. I mean, if you ask Tunisians, they'll say they have some issues, but it's internal issues. It's normal. It's normal in any democracy. Like the South is a little bit neglected, and they want it to be less neglected. It's normal. This is takes time for equality to reach optimization. This be for Lebanon, Willie. I'm not gonna speak much because it brings me a lot of
And what made it worse in Lebanon is that banks froze everybody's savings, and already the rampant inflation was eating up your savings, and they were frozen. also. Yeah. I know somebody who knows somebody who told me he had a heart attack when he was told he can only get like $400 out of his $4 million savings a month. He can get only $400 a month.
Yeah.
And he literally had a heart attack.
It's even ridiculous to talk about. It's more like a guinea pig. It's more like an experiment of human patience or the rate of adaptation. I'll say two things about Lebanon. Is first, Lebanese people are traumatized. They all need, you know, this generation needs psychologists, you know, to come out of the situation that they're in. Second, everyone I know in Lebanon, the most loyal, the most comfortable, even who is connected to the government and to the chain of corruption, everyone looks to leave Lebanon.
You mean now, yes?
Yeah, it has become unbearable. And I don't know anyone who's working over there who doesn't look for an opportunity outside if it comes to them.
Yeah, because now the average salary is like $100, $150. This is the average salary. So yes, everybody is looking to leave here, right?
I think in terms of change, I mean, elections are coming up. When are the elections? The
2022.
So it's just
the beginning of it.
Yeah, the people who want change, they need to organize, and this seems to be the point where it fails. How to organize, and I don't know what's happened to us that we do not know how to organize and unite under one flag. There is over 200 groups.
Faction. Yeah.
Factions. And you know how easy it is in Lebanon to politicize or to buy, you know, one group or create pseudo groups that represent external powers. So the more divided the revolution is, the intifada, the more weak it is. And that's something that we, you know, in the beginning, it was part of its strength, part of its survival. But as you progress, you need to have some sort of a committee for leadership or something. And that's something that they failed in. And I think the failure is not just technical or logistical. I think it's intellectual.
I think now something is underway now. Something politically is gaining momentum. When you watch, especially in the Christian level, you see many independent are teaming up together to form something, and they have almost one rhetoric, the arms of Hezbollah. And they're now, I think, like a few months from now, they will have like something, like a party or something. Also, a new media outlet just started. It's called Beirut International. Beirut International. It only airs online. Online, broadcast online only. But very advanced in terms of production, and it hired good figures in Lebanon. Like one of them was Tony Khalifa, and I only found out later that it's owned by Baha al-Hariri. Brother of Saad al-Hariri, who is planning. He's planning probably to come up with some strategy, political strategy, and probably to have his own party. And some people in Lebanon already talk on his behalf and waiting for him to come like publicly to join him. And I think his rhetoric is like number one against Hezbollah, and second against every political class now, like everybody. So he is portraying himself as the solution for everything bad in Lebanon. And personally, I don't like him. I don't like him at all. If I have to choose between Saad and him, I'd rather like have Saad 10 times and not him.
Yeah, and the revolutionaries, also the Intifada, and it's most of the factions in the Intifada, they also do not support him. And they're also against him and see him as part of the oligarchy.
But why? He was never in power.
He was never in power, but he's part of the oligarchy, and he's using the same terminology as the sectarian one. And he's just another face, it's just another party, but with the same taste. What the people are looking for is really a civil society, but that won't happen by eliminating any faction or betraying any the struggles of every faction for Lebanon. And one of the biggest factions that have contributed to the freedom of Lebanon is Hezbollah. At the same time, it has also created tension internally, but it also contributed to its freedom, and it's a deterrent power against the aggression of the Israeli neighbor. So that has to be recognized. It has to be its recognition has to be part of the solution. I think Macron, I think he is more reasonable about the Lebanese solutions than most Lebanese people are.
That's right.
I hope he plays a part in that. I feel like the French, they get us more than we get ourselves sometimes. Like, we live in delusions. Each faction lives in a delusion about itself, and it needs sometimes a wake-up call, someone who sees everything from above.
If you remember when Macron came the first time, he called for a unity government. He said it so clearly on television. He said, let's form a unity government. A few days later, he said, no, I didn't mean that. I meant a technocrat. Because he was influenced later on by the Americans. He said, no unity government, because that will include Hezbollah.
Yeah.
So he left that rhetoric and moved to another one. He said, no, we need a technocrat.
Yeah.
But first, he said, we need...
We come back to the same rules of Sykes Biko.
Right. But the thing is, any country that suffers from like disasters like the ones we suffered from, usually every country, they will have a unity government to assume role against these catastrophes. Yeah. But yet in Lebanon, they say, no, we should have a technocrat, and this technocrat ministers, they should be named only by Saad al-Hariri, who is himself a biased president. He's not, he's not technocrat himself.
Right.
So, but yet they nominated him and they gave him the chance, and yet now, he is saying, no, I have to name everybody, and nobody will have a say in nominating the secretaries. Only I will do that. And this is what is halting the government from being formed.
Willie, we've went over our time, and I have another broadcast in 10 minutes, but maybe the next episode we'll talk about what are we looking forward to in 2021? There's a lot.
I have one resolution. Can I say it?
Yeah. Personal.
No. My resolution is to accomplish the resolution that I had in 2018 that I failed to accomplish in 2019.
Resurrect the resolutions of 1976.
So that's my resolution.
Yeah.
I wish you a happier and a better year, Wissam, for you and for everybody.
I don't, I had an awesome year. I have, I wish I have the same or better, the same I'll settle with. But we'll talk about this at a different time. I mean, I'm privileged and lucky to have a very great year. I'm an introvert who hates sports, so 2020 is a great year for me. But
good.
We have a lot of things to talk about 2021. We'll talk about it, and I want to hear like your predictions, because you are very you're very well aware of political situations. You're a very good reader, analysis in different languages, different newspapers, different sources. So I want to hear your predictions for 2021. Maybe if they happen, it will become a tradition. Willie's predictions for 2021. So maybe the next episode we'll talk about
Waleed Abdul Latif. No, and I see that the status quo will stay, like everything that happened. We will not have like big turns in terms of politics, and we will not. I don't see any.
Can we talk about it next time?
Yeah, but I don't see any foreseeable war in the future, and I think we will have another nuclear deal with Iran, and I think we'll have a better year anyway.
Okay, you just ruined the next episode. No, that's fine. We'll talk about it in more detail next episode.
All right, all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for following us. Those of you who are not following, I wish that.
Please follow next time.
And we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, Willie.
Inshallah. Thank you. Thank you very much.